And you are listening to 89.1 WEMU. I'm David Fair, and welcome to another edition of Creative Impact. I am sitting alongside the co-host of the segment, our content partner. She is the president and CEO of the Arts Alliance. Her name is Deb Pollock, and today she's going to be playing the role of Robert Mueller.
not interrogating me, and perhaps
considering waterboarding.
No. Goodness. Really, you know, David, I haven't had a chance to say congratulations on your 25 years in broadcasting or 25 years here at WEMU.
So yeah,
first
over
of
30
all,
years in radio.
Right. And thank you so much for doing what you've done, and congratulations on that. And
I survived.
So the radio broadcasting is one of the creative industries that we include in our list of important industries that feed the country in lots of different ways, including economically. And I've wanted to have a guest on the show about this, but it didn't seem right to have anybody else except you, our morning host and radio personality extraordinaire. So if you'll indulge me a little bit and our listeners, I'd like to ask you a little bit about your career in the radio broadcasting industry.
I will do my best not to bore you to death.
Relax. This will be easy. I'm sure it's going to be odd for you to be on the interview seat while we do this, but
that is an understatement.
It's going to work out. So, did you always want to be in radio or broadcasting? How did you get here?
I had no inclination whatsoever as a kid. It was not something that appealed or I thought about. I was in high school, and the theater director approached me about playing the DJ in the play Grease.
Oh, sure, of course.
And I asked why. And he said, well, you have a radio voice. So I declined. I didn't want to do it.
Oh, you didn't do the show?
Absolutely not. The one thing I did know then is I should be heard and not seen. So I declined. But somewhere in there, I stuck that in the back of my head.
You have a radio voice.
And okay, so that's where I left that for the time being. As I left that particular school, got out of high school, I didn't want to go to college, so I decided I would follow the Grateful Dead on the road. And so I started touring around the country and having a great time, and slowly but surely recognizing Jerry Garcia is not in great health. He may not survive. What am I going to do after?
So your career as a deadhead was going to be over someday?
So I had to sit down and come to a self-assessment. What is it that I want to do what the rest of my life? I had no particular passion other than baseball. I wasn't good enough to play in the major leagues, right? So what am I really going to do? What am I capable of doing? So I made a list of priorities. What would I want in a job? And I had only two priorities at the time. Where can I not cut my long hair, and where can I wear blue jeans to work? And it hit me. Radio.
So what did you do?
So I went to my dad, and I said, okay, I think I'm ready to go to college now. And he said, great, let me know how it turns out. And
So you were on your own, figured out.
Well, and rightfully so, I will add. But so I went to a community college. I could afford that, and got a degree in broadcast engineering. Couldn't get a job to save my life. So the next step was the Specs Howard School of Broadcast Arts. I did that, and they tell you, wait until you're halfway through the program and we'll set up an internship for you. That's just not me. So I, after my first week, just started applying and went and got an internship at WCSX in Detroit, the classic rock station.
So you started in commercial radio.
Yeah, that was a start. So at first, all they have you do is answer phones and get coffee. So I'm working with Karen Savelli and Tim Sechrest,
right,
and doing all their little chores, putting their CDs away for them. But ultimately, before my time at Specs Howard was over, I turned that into a paying job, helping produce the Motor City Blues Project with Mark Pasman on Sunday nights. And so I was starting to get a variety of experience in radio.
You might have started slowly, but you hit the ground running.
Yeah, I found I loved it. Well, I always loved music. I always loved being around music, around musicians, and wanted to continue that, and thought I had a future as the next great rock DJ in Detroit.
Well,
I did
not. But you're a great WEMU DJ. And tell us how you ended up in public radio.
Well, it started off with being rather brash. I did not, coming out of Specs Howard, you have to get a job. So I didn't know where to go. I had a friend who had a contact at CKLW, used to be a big radio
CKLW
station.
CKLW, yes,
exactly right. So he actually set up a luncheon with the general manager of CKLW for me in Detroit. I went with my little cassette tape and a boom box so that I could play it for this guy and sat at a lunch and told him I was going to be his next radio star. He played my tape and literally laughed in my face.
Oh, no.
And said, you may never work for me. You're that bad. But I love your gumption. And I love that you want to do it this much. And, you know, he was absolutely right. Go get some experience. Go to small markets. Do what anybody will let you do. And so he called a friend of his who happened to work at a radio station here in Ann Arbor, commercial radio station, and said, I got this guy. I think you should give him a shot. I literally got hired over the phone.
Oh, that's awesome.
And that was my first job in radio.
That's great. I mean, seriously.
So you're listening to 89.1 WEMU. I'm David Fair at 7:55. And if you're still with us, I'm talking with Deb Pollack, the president and CEO of the Arts Alliance and our content partner for our weekly feature, Creative Impact. And we're talking about how I got into radio. Now we're talking about the change from commercial radio to public radio.
To public radio. So
I've been working a couple of years in commercial radio in the news department. And we had an incident break. And I heard about shots fired at Chelsea High School and picked up on it, grabbed my microphone, got in the car, ran over to Chelsea High School, was the first on the scene, and learned that the superintendent had been fatally shot.
Oh, I remember
Joe Pisecki.
Yeah.
And two other faculty members had been shot as well. They did survive, and they were shot by a teacher. So we broke the story. We got it on the air first, which is very important in commercial radio.
Right.
And as the television crews and the other media outlets started showing up, I saw people, a group of people had gathered and were mourning. They were in a circle. And I saw these cameramen and these microphone operators literally trying to hang and get in the middle of that circle
to
tell the story of the grief. And my boss is telling me on the payphone, because that's what it was back then,
right,
you need to get in there. You need to get that audio. And I just refused.
And so that was a break.
I won't do it. And I watched a reporter from WEMU show up who had exactly the same sentiment about it that I did. He reported on the story. He tried to get the story as to why this happened. How was it allowed to happen? What can we learn from this that might move us forward? And then in the coverage in the weeks ahead, that was the focus. Not the violence itself, not the mourning, not the grief, but about this social issue of violence. And what are we going to do about it? And I said, that's what I want to do. And I applied immediately.
And the rest has been 25 years of history.
25 years.
That's great. I mean, it's the incident, not so much, but certainly we're glad that you're here. So, you know, as our morning edition host, you come in really early, but you have to do a lot. I mean, talk about what you get over the, how you get your information and how you put it together every day.
Well, we're very fortunate. We have a small but very dedicated staff throughout the course of every day. They do go and gather a lot of news and put it together for the afternoon and Lisa Berry and All Things Considered.
Right.
And then they create new content for me to come into in the morning. I basically go through that. I edit it. I prioritize it. I look for what else is new that will have happened since our staff left the day before, as we don't have a 24-hour staff here at WEMU. Put it together and put together the morning show. And, of course, we're always trying to work ahead. And we're trying to figure out what stories are most important to those who are listening to us. It's just, you know, it's important what we care about. But we tend to care about that which has been expressed to us of community importance. And so we're so fortunate that we have a community that is smart, engaged, expects a lot, will not stand for less, and demands that of us. So every day we get to approach our news gathering, our storytelling, in a way that has to be above par. And that is a privilege.
So, and it shows in everything that you do. So now, today, those breaking news stories, those incident breaks, has it satisfied you all these years, different than commercial radio? Are you being able to handle
well,
it
one
the
of the things
I
love, WEMU, because of our staff size in one, but also because of our priorities, we're never going to be that breaking news story. And we would rather be right than be first. So we would rather look at an issue in its entirety than just bring you a headline that tells you very little and sensationalizes what could be an awful incident in someone's life. So let's look at the entirety of the issue. And when we're talking about governments, or we're talking about incidents or environment, finding the scope of the story and trying to narrow that down into a way that we can communicate it to you in meaningful ways that inspires you to go find more information, because as much time as we can dedicate to a story, you need to know more. We can't tell it all. So our goal is to give you a broad perspective, but in a way that tells you a story that inspires you to want to find out more and to become engaged.
Well, that professionalism is very much appreciated, and we appreciate you and your 25 years here at WEMU, and thank you for indulging me this morning with your story and all of the listeners as well.
And for those of you that were listening, you can wake up now. We're going to get back to regular
programming here on WEMU.
No, it's great to tell you, and I do want to just say one other thing, and that the greatest part of being at WEMU is it is a real partnership with the community. We are listener-supported public radio, and every story, I say it all the time, every story that you hear is produced by you. Without your contributions, it doesn't happen. And you've sustained me for 25 years at WEMU, but more importantly, you have sustained this station for 53-plus years. And I can't thank you enough for making it all possible. And I'm looking forward to as much time as I have left here at WEMU. But the station, I hope it goes on in perpetuity with the mission it has today, which is an institution dedicated to serving the community in which it resides.
Well, your mark and your legacy is certainly here, so thank you.
I'm David Fair. That's Deb Pollack. Thank you for joining us for this week's edition of Creative Impact on your community NPR station, 89.1 WEMU FM and WEMU HD1 Ypsilanti.